pray. So take my heart, so take my mind, so take this broken body, use it for your glory and the benefit of your people. Speak to our hearts, O God, as only you can. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake I ask this, and God's people said, amen. Saints, I have a confession to make right off the bat. In the life of the church, God calls us, or at least our Reformed faith teaches us, that we need to preach a doctrinal sermon. A doctrinal sermon. And of course, because of the kind of preacher that I am, I believe in the Word of God existentially meeting people where they live. It's got to have an impact sitting next to you. That's how I say it. The sermon's got to sit next to you and say, hey, how about this? That's the way that I see preaching. So I want to tell you right off the bat, before your eyes glaze over, this is the time of the year I got to preach a doctrinal sermon. Don't feel bad if it really sucks, okay? Don't feel bad, because it just doctrinal sermons, your eyes can kind of glaze over, you know, and you go, oh gosh, where does that meet me? But once a year, I have promised the Reformed faith, and I'm deeply Reformed, saints. I love the Reformed faith. I love the Presbyterian Church. And so I've got to preach a doctrinal sermon today, and it's in the doctrine of sanctification. And all that means is, it's the doctrine of God setting us aside, okay? So if you would look at your neighbor, just look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to try my best to stay awake. Chad, I'm going to try my best to stay awake. All right? So, doctrine is tough. I'd rather teach it in small groups, because then you know that there's giving back and forth, you're talking about things, you're questioning, but God calls us to preach at least once a year. There's some brothers and sisters who preach it three or four times a year. I say, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. I just can't do it. But I will do it once a year. And so doctrine falls into areas like this, or answers questions like this. How does God find us, right? How does God find us? That's the doctrine of special revelation. Who is God? The doctrine of the Trinity. What is God like? The doctrine of the attributes of God. Or are you a Christian? And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, which is the doctrine of sanctification. In our Romans passage, you hear a couple of things, and you hear a question right off the bat. And the question is, now since God chose me before the foundation of the world, since God has saved me, that means I've got grace to do whatever I want to do, to whomever I want to do it, anytime I want to do it. That's pretty much what it's saying. And there were people in the Roman church who thought, yeah, hey, I got a license to go crazy. I can just go out my mind. I can sin and do all the things I want to do in this life because God's grace is upon me. And so there was a section of the church that was thinking this, and they were treating people terribly, because all of the epistles are really about things that happen in church and how God's people get along in that thing. So Paul says, okay, this is not how it's going to go. He says, now there is a depth of brokenness. And I use the word brokenness many times in the place of the word sin. I know the word sin still resonates. I know the word sin is powerful theologically, but it is extremely antiquated, and a lot of times it carries a lot of baggage. So I like to say brokenness. Sin is the legacy of Adam and Eve, and we will always have to fight for the remainder of our days and battle brokenness. Brokenness describes sin's after effects. Brokenness because of sin describes the killing of Abel by Cain. Brokenness describes Adam and Eve eating the forbidden fruit. Brokenness describes the generation before the flood, which did not know God. Brokenness describes divorce. Brokenness describes unforgiveness. The depth of the power of brokenness is a word that I use in place of sin because it still carries the weight of rebellion and transgression. In other words, sin or brokenness is rebellion and transgression against God's law. We all have to contend with the legacy of brokenness derived from Adam and Eve. Sin is the powerful disobedience of a creature to the known will of God. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and death spread to all because all have sinned. Our text today challenges the notion that just because Christians are forgiven, that means they don't have to fight the brokenness in their lives. Just because Christians love God doesn't mean they're not called to ethical behavior. Beloved, the Apostle Paul says, don't even think about it. Wipe it from your minds. In other words, thinking that we can go on living unethically because God has saved us, yet we have to fight the burden of inward sin is not going to work. In other words, we've got to fight every day. Sometimes there are people that just believe they're super Christians. Dun, da, da, da. Super Christian. They can leap over a sin in a single bound. You know, then nothing's wrong. They don't do anything wrong. Everything is right. But saints, all of us have sin to contend with. And all of us are broken in one way or another. And that brokenness has to be challenged every day. Give you an example. Most people like ice cream. Take 1 month off of ice cream and see what happens. 1 month. I say to some of us, take 1 week off from ice cream, right? Because we can see how our bodies yearn for certain things, how they desire certain things, because brokenness is constantly fighting. The Apostle Paul says, live in God. Live as though you know who He is. In other words, live because you know your last name depends on it. My wife often tells a story to our children and grandchildren that her mother would always say before she'd go out to a party, she'd say, remember what your last name is. And my wife then would give you the punchline. She said, then it would mess up my whole evening. You know, because I'm remembering that my mom said, remember what your last name is. Your last name is Christian. You belong to God. And that last name has got to be honored even in our brokenness. Even in our brokenness. Why is it wrong to think that since I have the nature of sin, I might as well go on sinning or causing brokenness? Why should I have to fight the very brokenness which causes unforgiveness? What's the use of fighting not to live out brokenness since I can't get rid of it anyway? Paul answers the question. First, he says, the more powerful sin is, the more powerful grace is over it. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means, our text says. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Grace is the heavenly favor shown and demonstrated to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To live in constant brokenness or sinning willfully is to treat the grace of God with contempt. Treating the grace of God with honor and respect derives and gives glory to God. Number two, why should we not go on sinning but live ethical lives? We've been baptized into Jesus' death and resurrected with Jesus also. Our text says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Baptism is the shadow of what happened to us when we met Jesus Christ. The emphasis of this verse is upon our profound identity with Jesus Christ. It's like I shared with you, what is your last name? The day you were baptized as a child, or the day you decided to take on your baptismal covenant, you bore identification with the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, especially because it is linked with Jesus' death. We as believers in Christ are united with Christ in his death so that the nature of brokenness may be done away with. Because we died with Christ through baptism, we also live with him. Every time you touch water this week, think of your baptism. Every time you get a glass of cold water, think of your baptism. We have been brought together, and the image of baptism shows that I belong to him and he belongs to me. Finally, there's an old song that in my Christian youth, we used to sing in a Baptist church when I was about 25. And it always would let me know somehow that the grace of God overwhelms my sin and my brokenness, because sometimes it can just be discouraging. So I just want to share a bit of it with you. I'm yours, Lord, everything I am, everything I've got, everything I'm not. I'm yours, Lord, try me now and see. See if I won't be completely yours. Oh, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I'm not, everything I've got, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see. See if I won't be completely yours. Amen. Let us pray.